train will terminate at the next station. Tower Hill. Passengers wishing to travel beyond Tower Hill are advised to change here, remain on the same platform.
Mind the doors.
Mind the doors.
Tower Hill, mind the doors.
It really does work when you just pinch your nose.
Mind the doors.
Lentworth.
Do you ever go to like Great America in Cali?
Yeah, oh yeah, of course.
You know how at the end, like, you know, they tell you to keep your arms and legs inside. Oh, yeah. Enjoy your ride. And then some kid's like, ah, my arm, my eye. Yeah, show 76.
Excellent.
Yeah, I'm really happy to be here with Dr. Spence and Dan the Man.
Yep. I like to think that Dan the Man actually is equivalent to a doctorate. You know, that moniker. You know, sort of, it comes on my mail.
I mean, I think what I found...
Well, don't you have to actually earn
the
title?
You have to earn the man. You have to earn the man.
Yeah, which you've done.
Which I've done on the street, working hard every day.
Yeah. I can tell you the only thing I've noticed since getting it is that pizza comes faster if you mention it when
really?
You order it. Yeah, this is Dr. Spence. You need a double pepperoni.
The doctor loves his pepperoni.
I've got a patient, so can you make it snappy?
Nice.
That just makes me
makes
feel,
me feel
good.
So good. Exactly.
Tell me about it.
Why is it's like reggae just makes you feel good?
It's the music of the gods.
Nectar.
Exactly.
Pure why they,
oral nectar.
Why don't they just change reggae to nectar?
Nectar.
Music. What genre? Nectar. Yeah. Over there's pollen. You're in like superlatives mode tonight, Dan. I'm kind of enjoying it.
I don't know what that means.
Like, really, everything is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Even his cat.
Yeah, the cat. What was the cat. Thing about the cat?
His awesome. Cat's name is awesome.
So maybe tonight is that.
Maybe he's just, worried about his cat, you know?
Superlative Dan.
When I see Fiona and, like, you know, the cat's not around, because Fiona loves the cat when I see her and he's not around, like, Fee, do you want me to go get awesome?
And they just start dancing.
Wow. Is he still
here comes awesome.
Is he still like a wild animal, or is he chilling out?
He's getting fat. We've been overfeeding him.
Was he a wild animal? Because
he's just eating like steak.
He would steal.
Cat eats cow.
He would slaughter anything. He would steal whole chickens off of the counter and then drag them into the darkest corner and just growl. He was a machine.
He was an alley cat.
He was a street cat from day one.
See, that's awesome though.
That's exactly why they named him awesome.
You get the unfiltered biology happening.
He's unwinding as he gets fatter. The lazier he gets, the more domesticated he becomes. It's funny.
I feel that way.
It's weird that cats don't like. Why don't cats like drool all over us like dogs? Like they're still enigmatic. You know, they've got their old.
There's that old saying, dogs have masters, cats have servants. You know, and it's just...
That sounds like an Egyptian prose.
Yeah, it might have been Confucius.
Did you translate that from the original hieroglyphs?
And I've since retranslated to like 12 different languages, but it's difficult. It's the nuance that really matters.
It's on the Rosetta Stone. Yeah. Which, by the way, is down the street.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, the Rosetta Stone is in the British Museum.
Oh, I never went to that section.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Right? It's like the oldest tool, right? Isn't it like the oldest tool found or something like that? Like,
I think that the Rosetta is the one where they figured out the languages. Yeah, because it's like the same law in three
They have
languages.
Like the first arrowhead or something like that. Or like the first like grinding stone or something like
seriously?
In the British Museum as well.
That's cool.
It's like the oldest like tool known to man or something like
it's they have that stuff, you
like,
know?
It's crazy, you know?
And I tell Rebecca about it. It's like, you know, because we're not into like being in a big city, you know, necessarily, but then you do these things, you're like, wow, you know, culturally it's cool stuff. And that she calls it the Museum of Plunder. Like you cruise around the British Museum and it's like, you know, this is the Temple of Alexandra.
Yeah, captured. We stole this back in.
Yeah, it's like General so-and-so picked this up after being
Well,
Rommel.
It's better than being in some rich guy's house, though. You know what I mean? At least you can check it out.
For free.
You know?
Unless cool. that rich guy is...
Indiana Jones used to always say, that should be in a museum! You know?
And who's to argue with Indy?
Exactly. Indy! Throw me the whip! Wait, part two, right? Cliffhanger. We were speaking of museums. You were talking about Stockholm and how there was an amazing art exhibit.
Yeah.
Art exhibits, museums, different, but same.
Same, but different. It was, so it was in Stockholm and it was at Fargfabriken, which means...
I don't have any
factory?
Pants.
No. No.
Which means
you are fun at me
awesome center. German engineering. I thought, no, am I wrong?
Fargfabriken. I think it means either color factory or textile factory.
Okay.
Anyways, it was a really controversial show and we went and basically we had a friend who was working there. And so you go in and they give you a flashlight and you let free into this completely dark space. And then... you go in and you walk around for a bit and then suddenly the sirens go off extremely loudly and you're in the complete darkness and you kind of just have to decide what to do. And some people,
you and
whoever
like
else has decided
others.
To go into the show.
So you just go, you've got flashlights and you go into complete darkness.
Right. And then you try to use the flashlight and it doesn't work.
Give you a broken flashlight.
So
there's a tripwire by the exit door. Wait, so how many people were you in there with?
Well, I'll be totally honest. We went, and Rebecca's cousin was working there, and so she told us about it. And
she gave us
the in, and so
did you smack her afterwards?
A little bit.
Why
did you tell us?
That kind of ruins the whole thing.
It does a bit.
Exactly, but we went there, and the alarms are really loud. Yeah. And she said, you know, people have come out alternated between, you know, coming out and being like, how dare you waste my money, and having a giggle and like wanting to punch them and like, you just scared the crap out of me and I saw goblins in the distance.
Whoa.
I mean, it's called the gauntlet.
Yeah.
Because it's meant to play upon your imagination. But it's really loud. It's like, it warns you on the way in. It's like 110 decibels.
Jesus.
And there's motion detectors. Sorry, I didn't really explain this very well, but they measure motion and then they go off. And then if there are other people in there exploring the exhibit... Then when you get freaked out, you can kind of maybe make them out in the distance. And that's why people think there are goblins and stuff.
Oh, wow.
That's odd.
So
Oh, so you don't all enter in the same doorway. So you don't all go in together.
No, they exactly. Oh. So they kind of, I think they just, to be honest, I think they just take people as they come and then let them in. And if other people happen to be in then they the wait, show.
Is it like a maze that you kind of make your way through? Or do you just like, how do you, or you just have to find the exit?
It's like a massive warehouse with pillars every now and then. And I think, I'm pretty sure the only way out is the way you come in.
Oh my God.
It's called the Gauntlet. And so it's by this American artist. I don't know. What do you think?
I wish I had seen it when I was there.
I can totally understand. Really cool. I think it is a bit trite. I think it's a bit trite. Come on, it's cheap. It's interesting, but it's cheap. It should be happening during Halloween.
But it's psychology is art rather than painting or sculpture, which is interesting.
Yeah. Well, but it's not. I think psychology has been dealt with more interestingly in art than in that particular instance. But I haven't been through it. I mean, I don't know. I'd be curious what the experience is if you knew nothing approaching it, whereas you had a bit of a sense of what was going to happen.
It's totally true. And
telling it afterwards isn't the same as experiencing it, of course. So I have absolutely no point to say.
Yeah, why don't you just be really a jerk, curious. Dan?
So this is why we made it a cliffhanger. Mitch, I didn't want to ruin it for you in case you were going to go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, thanks. I had a great time when I was there. I tried to get a hold of Martin.
Oh, did you?
But cool. I guess he was hungover or tired or something. He did respond to me, and he did attempt to meet up with me, but we just couldn't get together. But I had a great time. I think Stockholm is an amazing city, and I think that more people should go. I don't really understand why it's not a more popular destination, because it is a gorgeous city.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, there's, you know, the water and the buildings and just like, and it's a great culture, you know. It's like people are like, they're friendly, but they're not like like cheesy, over the top, like weird, like
there's not a touristy element to it.
No, that's partially why I liked it, because it's not, because a lot of people don't go there, and so people just sort of like, you know, and to be fair, also a lot of people speak English there, so it's like really,
it makes it
it's
nice
really friendly for us Americanos.
That's what I like.
So Rebecca's half Swedish, and we go and visit her relatives there. And I find the Swedes really interesting. Yeah. I think the socialism leads to a lot of things that would surprise people from the States maybe a little bit. You know, like they you know, live pretty simple lives, a lot of them, in these farms, and they cook with really fresh ingredients, and they like family. They spend a lot of time talking to each other around a table, and they have really nice cultural things like drinking aquavit. Like, when on big occasions, they'll sing songs and do a shot or two of aquavit before dinner.
What's that, aquavit?
Aquavit's it's
the local liquor.
It's like a flavor. It's kind of like a gin, but they put twigs in it and stuff. So it's got
yum.
You know, like
good fiber
stuff with it. Yeah. And I don't know.
Yeah,
I
think while you drink,
dude. I think a woman can do paternity leave or maternity leave is 2 years.
Whoa!
A man, it gets a whole year. Paid.
You're kidding me.
No, you get a year paid.
Yeah, paid.
That's incredible.
It's fantastic.
They have groups, like day groups for men. Like men
just
dads
to hang out,
will get together with their kids.
Yeah.
Right? And hang out and do man stuff with the kids.
Yeah.
It's build just furniture with power tools and hunt a deer with a bow and arrow.
Yeah. Let's make rounded modern baby furniture together.
Exactly. Soft edges. Natural woods.
Everyone keeps on talking like they got the
that was dreamy like Corey Haim.
Yeah.
Is he still dreamy?
Or Feldman?
The Coreys. That's just what I just said.
Dreamy as the Coreys.
Yeah.
I don't think they're dreamy anymore.
No, they're a little haggard.
Weathered?
There's a word.
What was the... there was a movie that they were both in that was really good.
Oh, not the one with all the sex.
The one with all the sex.
Not the late one.
Were they
one?
In like three or four movies together? Wasn't it like the Coreys?
It was crazy.
It
like, yeah.
There was like a whole bunch of movies. Dream a Little Dream.
License to Drive.
License
to Drive. That was my favorite. One was my favorite. Ultimate Team.
They were both in Lost Boys.
They were both in Lost Boys, yeah.
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 You can
imagine.
Keep going.
I like
Yeah. Where's the poster, Ren? I know there's a poster in here somewhere.
Did you also have a Kirk Cameron poster somewhere? Because he should have been in that little thing there.
He should have. You know, he actually is like the only one of all of them to not rob a video store in his career at some point.
It's coming.
It's coming one day.
But License to Drive would only do well in the States. You know, you can't imagine like other country where it's like you're not going to sell a load of those in, you know, Thailand.
Wasn't Corey Feldman in that Stephen King movie with River Phoenix?
No, none of these lines are connecting. None of these dots.
Mm-hmm. Come on, the growing. It's a bunch of little kids who go on a trip to find a dead body.
Oh yeah, yeah, you know.
Stand by me. That was Stephen King?
Yeah.
You're kidding me. Yeah. How did I not know this?
Stephen King was the dead body. That's
was
the funny
he?
Thing. He was in the movie and he was the dead body.
That's really funny.
Wow. Little piece of trivia.
Classic film, trivia. But no idea it was a horror film.
That was him.
Well, Stephen King doesn't only do horror. He's just weird.
Right, yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone thinks, you know. Yeah.
Like the clown in
and whatever the stand, but
yeah,
he does some interesting stuff too.
What's he done lately?
the cell.
Let's throw
it's
up
like some weird mobile phone horror book. I mean, he's a prolific writer. He does something. A new book a year. Like he's crazy.
Yeah.
Or less, more than
Even after he got hit by that van, didn't even slow him down. He's still cruising.
He actually said he was going to stop writing after that.
After the accident.
Yeah, and then he couldn't.
He's like REM. They said they'd stop in 2000. Fucking going.
He actually wrote that accident into one of his books that I was reading, The Dark Tower. Uh-huh. And like he talks in the book about how it shifted his perception about why he was writing.
Huh.
Oh man, I read the most depressing thing the other day. It was like some scientific study of how like success rates. And so they somehow I don't know how they did it, but they somehow controlled for number of successes. So they figured out the hit rates of people.
Wait, how can you know what the hit rate is unless you know what the person running the study wanted to happen? You're matching.
So the qualification was among competent professionals.
Competent. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so I don't know, man. You know, look into that. Like competent professionals.
Keep going.
The idea was basically that the hit rate is the same. For the most part, the hit rate is the same. And then they looked at like common geniuses like Pablo Picasso.
Yeah.
He painted, 14,000 paintings.
Whoa.
You know.
Talked about this last show. Did we?
Yeah.
Ren says we talked about this on the last show.
Oh, get my coat.
Oh, yeah. Repeat. Here, let's just go to music. Here we go. Here's one from Vampire Weekend.
Oh, right. The hit rate.
Who's the new guy?
It's the issue of.
Again.
Oh, I'm here. I'm here. Don't worry. Hey, hey. We are up there getting some Chinese food right when the song and it's all boom. We're like, oh shit. So Dan's over there now, scarfing the mushu pork.
He's carefully assembling a superlative mushu. Is that going to be an awesome mushu? Anyways,
yeah,
that was
Vampire Weekend. It's nice. Called Mansard Roof. I guess is a mansard roof like what's mansard? Is that the when you put like when there's straw on top?
Oh, could be.
Dan, I need your help here because you know more about this band than I do.
Yeah, give us they're some give us some vocab.
Apparently,
Columbia.
Apparently, they're Columbia University.
Geniuses.
Dan says geniuses.
Columbia University geniuses.
They've got a great album. The whole album's good, end to end.
Yeah, everyone's been speaking very highly of it. I'm really curious how well it's rocked over in America because it actually only kind of broke out here literally a few weeks to a month ago. And everyone just won't shut up about Vampire Weekend. And at the same time, usually in the same sentence or paragraph, they also mention The Fools, which is the British equivalent of Vampire Weekend. It's another sort of... I don't know how they call Vampire Weekend mathy, but they tend to say Vampire Weekend's a bit mathy.
Sounds more like Paul Simon to me.
Yeah. Well, you could say Paul Simon's mathy. He uses like bizarre off-time African rhythms. I don't know about Vampire Weekend. I haven't listened to the whole album. I've only heard a few songs, but anyway. Yeah, so if you're into them, you might want to check out The Falls also. F-A-U-L-S or F-O-U-L-S or some other bizarre...
Hmm.
Western and if spelling. And if you were to explain to me what mansard means.
What? Mathy?
No, mansard.
Mansard?
M-A-N-S-A-R-D.
What the hell is that?
That's the title of the album.
No, that's the name of that song. The album's just called Vampire Weekend. But that song is called Mansard Roof.
It's very
mansard
cool. Roof.
Sounds like an inside joke.
Which I think might be, you know...
Ooh!
I think it's like probably one of those things, you know, where there's grass, maybe grass growing out of the roof, like sod. No, that's sod. The green roof, isn't it?
Yeah, sorry.
Well, mansard roof in architecture refers to a style of hip roof characterized by two slopes on either side of it. It's like four sides. Wait, a mansard roof. This is
they're all over this town.
That's like the whole that's the A-frame. Whole Baroque thing.
It's
you know,
Gothic.
Where it's
Gothic.
All, is it Gothic?
Wouldn't you say? You see, this is this Colombian background. This band is way too educated for us. We'll never understand what they're talking about. They're not talking about getting in your car and, you know, tonight, like the Cars used to sing about, you know, baby, I need you tonight. No, they're talking about mansard roofs. I can't relate.
Yeah. Wait, here, let me finish. So, characterized by two slopes.
Let's get to the bottom
of
this.
On each of its four sides, with the lower slope being much steeper. Oh, of course, I've seen that everywhere. Almost a vertical wall, while the upper slope, usually not visible from the ground, is pitched at the minimum needed to shed water.
You know what this means?
This form makes maximum use of interior space of the attic and is considered a practical form for adding a story to an existing building.
Duh. You know what you've just proved?
Seriously.
Is that a picture is worth a thousand words?
Yeah.
Because I look at that picture and I go, it's a mansard roof.
Oh, yeah, it's a mansard roof.
I got three of them in my pocket.
Oh, it is Baroque. Check it out. Baroque. Yeah.
Face.
Louis the 14th's inner circle had a mansard roof. Yeah,
which brings
which they
us
had
back.
A lot of in Stockholm.
They do
mansard roofs. Yeah,
Bailey has something to say about that.
Anyways, boring stuff. I don't know why we're talking about this.
Hit me.
Let's do like. Ooh. Spence, you've got some funny stuff here.
I do have some funny stuff.
Let's go. Here. Hit me with something.
This is going to be Feel Good Factor's song.
I love how this starts.
Seeing it is about the third hour of the day. Subject, the whole church should get drunk. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place.
And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them clover tongues like as a fire. And it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
can't do it.
And that's better.
Funny thing is, and said Rick. So what does that mean?
It was that means it was Rick James.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. Anyways, bit of dance music for you.
There's always a place for that.
Yeah, the unicorns and dolphins.
You've been to one or two of these events, have you, Spence?
Yeah. It's when it goes from the major key to the minor key. That's when you know you're supposed to have your big ecstasy moment.
They help you out,
the DJs. You know,
phone hands and everything.
Court, you know, keychains.
Oh! Jesus! This is amazing! Yeah. They just changed keys!
No, Bailey hates dance. Yeah, sorry. Like, we gotta go back to the Paragons.
The reggae.
The Paragons.
Bailey, what's wrong?
I think she's not getting enough stares.
She didn't like the talk. She didn't like the way you were talking about.
I apologize.
Drug use.
No. My apologies.
Hugs, not drugs.
It was a
You're
phase.
Talking about naughty adult things, and I'm in here.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyways, hiccup.
You know, it's funny that I and I've been meaning to try and find this album for my nieces and nephews, but apparently the world's record-selling children's album was a reggae album unexpectedly. Like, it wasn't intended to be a child's album, but this reggae album, it was a compilation.
You mean a Nectar album?
Yes, a Nectar album. Apparently it was the sweetest of the Nectar albums.
Was it awesome?
It was just repackaged because they realized that it worked so well for kids, and they repackaged it and it's so it was the highest grossing children's CD ever.
It was a gross sweet package of awesomeness.
It was a gross sweet package of Nectar awesome, baby.
Meow.
Shut up.
What was it called? Yellow Submarine? What was it called?
It was called Play the Next Track.
Okay. Here's one from one of my all-time favorites, Elbow.
Ooh.
I've been working on a cocktail called Grounds for Divorce. Whoa. Polish and a compass that I hold in my sleeve. Like a horse. Whoa. There's a tiny cigarette
It's a sweet track. I really like that.
You like it?
Yeah, I really like that.
Really?
I do. I thought where are Elbow from?
Manchester.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Wouldn't have guessed it.
Really?
No, you got me.
I played him a long time ago.
I'm on the ropes with that one. Manchester.
I played him a long time ago, but they just have a new album, so I thought I'd play something from the new album. It's really good.
Yeah, I dig. It's cool.
Yeah. They kind of remind me of like, I don't know, like a mix of like old school Genesis when Peter Gabriel was singing with them, like when they were actually good.
Yeah.
And then like when they were like fringe rather than like mainstream. And then.
You remember when we played Entrance, that band Entrance with Path Lichtenstein or whatever, the bassist girl from Perfect Circle? Maybe not. I saw them in LA for the first time when I was last there, but they reminded me a bit of them too. It's that old kind of slightly psychedelic bluesy rock. I really love this emerging sound of like dirty, gritty, psychedelic blues rock. I think it's fun. It's super fun. And it's definitely in there.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Cool.
I'm in a Chinese food coma.
I know. I think we're losing steam.
But we should have our MSG high. Well, kicking in right about now.
Yeah. After that,
here's the thing. I've got a couple messages to read here from some of our listeners. Let's see here. Just hang on. Okay. So I'm emailing you from my regular listening spot, and I just wanted to let you know that Ann Arbor, and hence U of M,
hell yeah, favorite place University in the world,
Michigan, is in the state of Michigan.
Oh, jeez, how did we miss that?
Not no, in the we, city yeah. of Madison.
I do believe, Mitch, that that was your crossed wire at the last show.
I think that's no. I remember saying, and I don't know. I'll have to listen to the show again. I thought I remember saying,
but no, you were. It was you. Okay, this was your confusion.
Okay,
I probably said that. I mean, my geography is terrible. When I was a kid growing up in Arizona, I thought it was Arkansas.
I think
he goes on to say they're not really even that close.
No.
You could probably fit all of Britain between them. Get a map. Love the show. From my iPhone.
it all started because Mitch was saying that his favorite movie ever was Bridges of Madison County. And I think then...
I don't think I said that, but I do like Clint Eastwood. Are you sure? I do like Clint Eastwood as a film director. As well as an actor in spaghetti westerns.
Absolutely.
Which
nice
is
segue.
Yeah. Baby. Well, hey... That's actually the context. Okay, Dan. And then also, so the same guy writes back and he says, we're called that because spaghetti westerns were called that because they were made by Italian studios and producers, notably Sergio Leone. And then he writes again, never mind, you looked it up. I jumped the gun. Just that's from listener X. Always got to read whatever's there, don't I? Here's a good one. This one I really like, from Dean Wilson. Hey, listen and love the first 60 shows of Notes from the Underground.
The first 60.
The comedy, the drama, the insight, and always number one priority for NU, the music. Sad to say, I've been torn from my podcast consumption for about a year and have only just got back into it. I had no idea that it is so damn hard to find good podcasts out there. And a couple of days of downloading various top 10 unquote, podcasts, etc., I've run screaming back to find out whether you guys are still making podcasts, and thank God, there you are. You guys and the other podcasters that are linked from your page might just be it for my podcasting. Keep it up, or I'll be left with nothing, and that's depressing. Cheers, Dean. From New Zealand, yes, Lord of the Rings.
He has to say that in every single letter, doesn't he? Lord
of the Rings? Yes, comma, Lord of the Rings.
Living in London, back to the Hobbits end of this year, though. P.S. On Podcast Alley, it states copyright law is one of your topics discussed. Change this to copyright law. Misspelled it. I didn't even know people even went to Podcast Alley anymore. Yeah, I should go back there and change it.
I don't even know what Podcast Alley is. I never went through that portal.
Yeah.
What is it?
That's just there's that they used to, I think they still do like podcast rating.
Oh, so, cool. Like,
people vote on their favorite podcasts and stuff.
Oh, cool.
And I still have a link on the site for voting for us on Podcast Alley.
Oh, okay.
Well, Dean, if you're in London, give us a call. Let's go get a pint or something.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Absolutely. Dude,
you were I mean, Notes Underground was starting so early in podcasting, wasn't it? That like you guys were in the top 100 for ages because you were so young in the system, weren't you?
Yeah.
You guys were on the crest of the way.
In the very beginning, iTunes had us like...
Yeah, and people were voting for podcasts. Like,
There was like a lot of enthusiasm when podcasting first started, and then now it's become this fringe thing, and I actually kind of like it that way. I don't know. It's weird. I actually listened to Adam Curry's Daily Source Code.
Oh, do you?
And I definitely credit him with like motivating him and a couple other people for motivating like the movement to podcasting. And it's really, I mean, it's amazing. Like, he's still doing it too. And
that
I mean,
is
there's
impressive.
Definitely some people that are like the OG people that are still doing their thing and, you know, preaching the gospel or whatever. But
it cracks me up that it's called a podcast. I mean, you know, when they have like these things that explain what it is, I mean, it's an audio program.
Yeah. Like, it's an audio
It's a podcast. But it's sure, you can play it whenever you want, but it's people talking to you.
Yeah.
You know, like, why is it a podcast? I mean, it's such a...
Well, I guess it's because I think what makes something a podcast...
Podiocast.
What makes something a podcast is that it's attached to a feed so that you get notified as a listener that there's a new content available.
Yeah.
And it's automatically downloaded.
It's a bit more like a magazine in a way. Something, it just comes through your mailbox and you get
rather
it.
Rather than
you
a... Can,
that's
rather
true
than an audio program you'd have to find and download on your own.
This is I guess automatic. What I'm I guess like the physical experience versus all the extra stuff around it. I mean, I think that's you know what you're saying is all the extra stuff around it actually adds a lot of value and is interesting. Like, it's subscribed, it just happens when you plug in your iPod and then you carry it with you, so it's kind of, it does have all these like benefit things to it, but the physical experience is listening to people speak.
It's just a radio show.
Yeah
Well, not in a bad way, you know.
But the difference, too, is that you don't have to spend thousands of dollars building a radio station to do it. Like, this doesn't cost anything other than the time and the web server.
That's probably the most powerful part of it.
There's to me, though, oddly enough, is the difference between a semi-recently recorded event and a really recently recorded event or a super old recorded event. Like, in the mornings... I mean, I usually listen to people talking only in the mornings. I don't like to listen to people chatting in the evening. I like to listen to music at night. But in the morning, I want to hear voices and humans for some reason.
That's why you get talk radio in the morning.
Yeah, but like I never could listen to CDs on like morning commute or whatever. I would always have to listen to NPR or something.
Yeah.
And with podcasts, it's like even though it is recorded maybe a week or sometimes even 2 weeks or 3 weeks prior, it still is really valuable. Whereas if I pop in a CD, I know there's just no immediate pertinent value. Like,
no one's talking about the world.
No one's talking about what's going on in any recent form. If I know it's that pre-recorded, whereas podcasts are kind of blurring this line in a way between like news radio and a packaged like sort of thing.
Yeah,
and I like and that blur is cool. It's fine. Yeah, it's great.
You've asked like actually kind of a ridiculously fascinating question. Like, do you think?
I tend to do that.
Do you think there's... and they're all awesome. Do you think...
he named his cat awesome.
Yeah, that's right. Do you, I mean, do you think there's an evolutionary advantage to like wanting to hear voices in the morning and then wanting to hear music at night?
I have no idea.
I think it's not... I don't think it's an evolutionary thing. I think...
You need to be stimulated to get going in the morning and then in the evening you want to wind down.
Yeah. And it's an intellectual thing versus like a relaxation thing.
Like,
you want to get intellectually stimulated in the morning. Music isn't going to stimulate thought patterns as much as it does just relax your brain
a little bit. No, I bet. Well, I mean, okay.
I'm repeating what you said, Renika, because no one can hear you.
Yeah.
Not because you didn't say it right.
No, I think that's interesting. But maybe what would be... So if we do like it that way, is there any reason why that might be a good way to do it? I mean, what about if you talk in the morning, it's good for planning the hunt, and then if you sing at night, it's good for finding a mate?
Hey, there's a good one.
Right? Like,
you know, what might be interesting is to talk to shift workers, people who work like...
Off hours, yeah. Work off people hours, that work the graveyard
when
shift.
When they get up,
still...
Well, that wouldn't change. That wouldn't change Spence's assumption because when you go to bed,
Will they have heard what
Renika was talking about? To talk to shift workers and see people who work the graveyard shift, and if they have different ideas.
That's interesting.
I always just had a really hard time also relating to like when, like at 8 a.m. when you're going down the street getting into work and you see some guy cruising in his BMW listening to like thumping techno music at 8 a.m. And I just am like, how can you deal with that? You know, there's like some beat in the morning. That's, I don't know. It's
that's me sometimes.
Is it?
Yeah.
Really?
You can
do that.
It pumps me up sometimes.
Yeah, it pumps me up.
Wow. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
So here's another one. Dan and Mitch. Spence, you got left out.
Ah, no problem.
They'll learn.
They'll figure it out. You're getting to be kind of a regular now. It's pretty cool.
I don't know.
Anyways, show was good. Very good. Couple topics inspired me to write in.
Hell yeah.
Number one is stats. A brief moment, you inadvertently mentioned something about stats ruling the world. I read a book called Moneyball. That follows an Oakland A's manager who couldn't afford the A-list players that the bigger markets pull and reverted to a fringe style of stat keeping legitimized by some MIT kids and nearly revolutionized baseball. Huh. It sounds bland, but it's honestly one of the most fascinating books I've ever read. Mm-hmm. They manipulated the keeping of baseball so ingeniously that by the beginning of the season, they had predicted, one, how many runs they would need to score throughout the season to get into the playoffs, and two, how many runs they would score with their current roster, and three, exactly what changes they needed to make in order to achieve the number of runs.
Wow.
They built the team around these predictions, and by the end of the season, they made the playoffs and were scarily close to their predictions.
Wow.
Anyway, long story short, quick and easy read that may blow your mind. And then two, he says, Madison. I've only been to Madison, Wisconsin once.
Oh, no. But I'm pretty sure.
No.
It has nothing sure to it's do not with Michigan. Ann Arbor.
For those of you that haven't visited the state of Madison, it's beautiful.
He says, I've only been to Madison, Wisconsin once to visit the campus, but it's pretty legit. Word of mouth also confirms that it's one of the cooler cities on the planet. I can offer no expert views and opinions of the city. I was told during my tour that the campus library was voted by Rolling Stone magazine as the number one non-alcoholic venue to meet singles in the US of A.
Wow.
That was like 7 years ago. So it may have like since slipped. But I'll always remember that one little tidbit from my Madison, Wisconsin tour.
And I love non-alcoholic singles.
Thanks, John. That was cool. And then I think here, we'll play another song and then I'll read a couple from comments from the site.
Well, do I have a minute to talk about that? Actually, I think that
go ahead.
The stats stuff actually is really interesting and I'm dying to read that book that
Moneyball.
Talking about Moneyball. It sounds really cool actually. And there's a couple, I wonder if we were talking about Freakonomics.
Yeah, we probably were.
because that's another good one. And then there's a whole other one called The Lady Tasting Tea, which is really cool. And it's like all about how statistics revolutionized, like it's why the Japanese car industry took over for a while, because they actually paid attention to some of the stats stuff. Huh. But the whole book is based on the idea that was this guy Fisher, who kind of invented stats, was at a cafe in Cambridge. And there was a woman who was given tea, but it already had the milk in it. And she said, I don't like that. You got to put the tea in and then the milk.
Yeah.
And she said, I can tell the difference.
Yeah, you can.
And he wanted to figure out how many tests it would take to figure out whether she could tell the difference. And then and that led
and that's
to like
when
all
stats
of,
began.
That's, that was like the poof moment when stats began.
Oh, man. Tea is at the root of all of it.
Thank
tea,
you, motherfucking
thank tea.
Tea.
Anyways, I got to check out Moneyball. Thanks.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So, Dan, no. Dan, you don't have any more. Spence,
no,
you got
man, no. I only brought the Paragons.
Yep, this is Menomina. I just saw them a couple weeks ago here in London. And I thought they were pretty good.
Sweet.
You saw them?
Yeah, sweet venue. King's College Student Union, which is a...
Yeah, I like that.
View of Temple. Right?
Oh, I've been there.
Right by Temple?
No.
We'll be right back.
We're talking about American politics, which I don't know if it's more exciting from this side of the Atlantic or what, but I find it thrilling. I find it amazingly thrilling
to be somewhere where everyone is so anti-US and a lot of it maybe I agree with, than to have the possibility of either a black president or a female president suddenly both those options at the same time.
Yeah.
You know?
Isn't it amazing?
Yeah.
It's
amazing.
Obama has absolutely no, I mean, he seems like he's trying really hard to not make race anything to do with this.
Until today.
Really?
But the last 2 days, he just did it completely
because of the pastor
introduced.
Why? How's that working? I mean, I thought it was sort of.
Well, he was basically like the pastor that married him and his wife basically inadvertently forced the race card. Where, right. Yeah, somehow he's been able to sort of skirt around it and somehow make the media not talk about race.
Well, Hillary is certainly not going to talk about it.
Well, then, but Geraldine Ferraro said,
yeah,
Geraldine Ferraro, who is one of Hillary's advisors, just like a week ago said something in the press about how if he was a white man, he wouldn't have gotten this far.
Mm.
And then Hillary fired her.
Yeah.
And that was like a week ago. And then just 2 days ago, then Obama's, old pastor like said something about how 9/11 was basically provoked by white America.
Yeah.
And so he's had to respond to that. And,
yeah.
But what's interesting is
did he have to though? I mean, what determines when you have to?
Because his pastor is the pastor that he's been, that he has a religious tie to, and he's openly said,
this is my spiritual God.
Introduced him to the Lord, is basically saying like these really, divisive things. And he's had to respond to that. And I think that's good. I think it's a good thing that it's being brought up and that someone's asking Obama as a black man to talk about his feelings about race.
Yeah.
I mean, cause,
well, it strengthened. I mean, in a way, you could say that it strengthened a parallel strength in Schwarzenegger with his Republican stance in a particularly Democratic state. Right? He was very Republican, and he said from the get go that although he is Republican, he doesn't walk the party line on all topics. And he's totally upfront with that from the very beginning. But he always said, "Yes, I'm Republican. Yes, I judge each issue as it comes, though. But generally, I am Republican." And so, in that way, it's held really strong for him in a state that isn't particularly Republican. And so, you could say that this is a strong stance to take. I mean, just the honesty. It's really just honesty, isn't it? You could that you just come forth with, this is my spiritual advisor, but I don't agree with him on every point. But we join on spiritual matters. Right. We discuss spiritual matters, but maybe we're not the same person. It's a perfectly valid thing, but the media always wants to like say, "Oh, you two, you're in bed together, so this must plus B must equal C."
And the media,
it's a simple
the
message.
The media wants an answer. The people want an answer.
Yeah.
They want a black and white answer. And for someone like Schwarzenegger to say, well, yeah, but I don't always vote that way.
Yeah.
Or for Obama to say, well, to either ignore the race problems or to condemn the race problems in this country is a result of a lack of is basically just divisive and a result of a lack of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Those are nuances, right? And that's people don't. And that's where John Kerry got into problems 4 years ago.
Yeah,
is he actually is smart enough to get nuances and not just to get nuances, but to actually be able to talk about them intelligently.
Mm-hmm.
And I think his problem was that in some ways he was over intellectualized, like where a lot of what a lot of people could understand.
Yeah.
And I think maybe if you
you know, that could be part of what's going on. Like, if you start talking about race to someone who's been talking about race their whole life, you know, they're not going to have these yes or no black and white answers.
Politics are walking more than anything that fine line between dumb and intelligent, aren't they? It's like you can simplify it down so far to the point where it's stupid, but then you're alienating the individuals or the majority that are actually willing to see some nuance and some delicacy to it all.
Right. But I think, and that's the problem with the media getting involved so much, right? Yeah. Is that they're going to do the short soundbite that gets the attention.
Right.
Because you know,
the headline is,
yeah.
There's no room in a headline for a nuance.
Exactly, exactly. You know, and they know. I mean, my fiance talked a lot about this with NGOs and like foreign policy stuff. It's like you can't explain to people. You can't take the half an hour that it takes to describe Uganda, and say, well, actually, there's this group and they want this, and then there's this group they want this, but also there's this disease. But that's hard also because of this. Right. I mean, if you go into the details of why it's hard, you lose people immediately.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
just become how
do you get people willing to try to pick through the details again?
Internet.
Podcasts.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, though, is I get hungry for it. Right. I get hungry for the nuanced discussion.
Right.
Right. Like, I don't want to hear who's winning between Barack and Hillary. I want to hear why they're winning, what they're doing to turn things around. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's fascinating that the race is you know, so close between these two, and I want to hear all the little details because it's just like I'm hungry for it. And fortunately, you know, we have a media landscape where that is available, where there is like there's the headline, but then there's all these other, you know, there's podcasts and there's the bloggers and there's, you know, video clips and there's...
So which of those things do you think enables...
4 years ago, we didn't have that, right?
Well, yeah. But I mean...
There was no YouTube. There was no podcast. There was no... Blogs were still barely visible, you know? So, I mean, I think a lot has changed, like, in terms of what consumers have access to in the last 4 years.
Sure, and you control that access, but do you think any of that enables you to make a decision that's more based on their policies?
I have a lot more access to what they're doing than I did before. But I was administered access 4 years ago.
Sure, yeah.
And now I feel like I can dig and dig and dig and dig and dig.
This is all Al Gore's book, The Assault on Reason, you know? Mm. It's all about how TV is one way, buying, you know, downloading of votes to people, and the internet is a hope.
I was going to say, I can't really tell if my decisions about specific things are smarter, like specifically with politics as the example, but I can definitely tell that I'm looking at the media outlet and the information that's being fed to me with a better understanding about who's controlling that information.
Sure. And I think Mitch's point
is... But ultimately, my judgment of the individual or the topic at hand, I don't know if it's necessarily like...
Any more objective, exactly.
Because I'm still hearing it from different perspectives, but at least I have a better understanding of what those perspectives are. I don't know.
Sure, and you're in control. I'm hearing from more perspectives.
And I think what Mitch's point is that, and I think the enabling thing is that you're in control, right? You're not having the TV feed you a perspective and keep you alert by flickering every 7 seconds, right?
Yeah.
You're choosing the link that goes to the policy you want to learn about.
Right. Or either you're in control or you feel like you're in control.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But you can go, it right? If you want to go to the far left view, you can do that. If you want to go to the far right view, you can do that.
That's so really nice.
You can keep, like, you know? Yeah.
I mean, maybe, but the problem with that is that I think then so that's good. But if you're always just going to go what you want to see, you're going to do that, right? It doesn't mean that you're going to be any more objective in your nature, but it does mean that you can find whatever you're interested in. Mm-hmm. So if people don't decide based on objective, well,
Have either of you ever gotten anything useful from YouTube, ever? Other than entertainment?
Yeah, laugh my butt off for half an hour.
I've seen some good speeches.
Oh, yeah. Maybe.
Did you guys watch the Obama clip made by...
Not yesterday, no.
And I Am? Will I Am?
Yeah, that was actually really...
What did you think of that?
I thought it was incredible.
I thought it was pretty good. I liked it.
Was it
Rebecca was brought to tears.
Yeah, I thought it was really inspiring. And the funny thing too is that Renica read this thing to me. It was like a blogger kid I'll see if I can find it. But basically, it was of you know, a blogger, some blogger kid that was like, Obama, you're so yesterday, you know, like I, after this will I am thing, I feel manipulated, you know, like I like, how could I let a politician bring me to tears like that? And you know, and like, I don't know.
What was this will I am thing? Was this some editor guy that put together?
No, will I am. Or? He was the Fugees guy.
Oh, that guy.
Wasn't he?
Yeah.
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 He's one of the Fugees guys.
What did he do?
I'll show you. It's a real. He did a remix of like Obama speeches and then people saying "Yes, we can,"
yeah.
And like over and over and
sounds
over.
Sounds motivational. Again.
Like, yeah, no, his speech cool. with artists singing the speech words yeah. behind it.
Really?
Yeah,
it's pretty amazing. Whoa. But I mean that's you know that's an interesting question. Like, do we need the Hillary, someone who knows the system, experienced politician, or will the inspiration of someone that this generation really gets mean that it transforms the country?
It's the Kennedy factor, isn't it?
Absolutely.
No one's had a Kennedy since the 60s.
Absolutely.
Yeah. This guy's a Kennedy of sorts.
Wouldn't it be great if there were some like facts you could look at that showed you whether it was, you know, how many bad situations have been transformed by competent people and how many have been transformed by people who were just inspiring?
And how do you weigh experience against inspiration?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know, for me.
Totally.
Inspiration far exceeds experience because someone could be super experienced and still fuck up.
Totally. Right?
If someone's yeah. like, and someone can be really inspiring and still fuck up.
Totally.
You know, but you know, I don't know.
Well, there haven't been any really inspiring leaders.
Yeah,
in that's a long time. I mean, there's been no one. I don't know.
The scary thing is an aspiring person that fucks up really fucks up. You know, like Hitler, for example.
For it, it would be presidency.
Like who?
Like Hitler, for
yeah,
example.
Yeah, like
but I mean, there's no way this guy's going to do anything like that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Well, no, but he might just be ineffective, which is as equal as anything. I mean,
how can an inspiring person be ineffective?
Well, dude, well, he's no, coming no, I think, in, Sar- he's I think coming Sarkozy. Into a potential shit storm right now. Shit
yeah,
storm.
A fucked up economy, yeah, a war.
And a war. I mean, come right. on. What do you do? How do you solve that?
No, you're right.
In 4 years, which isn't a lot of time. Mm. And you will only get that if you don't do it quick.
And actually, I think we should pay attention to Sarkozy. Because France, I have a French friend, and he was like, Sarkozy, he was like, basically, like, people knew he was a little bit of a maverick, whatever, but they were just like, we need to change France.
Yeah,
France anything that's even close to the system is bad. We need something really, really fresh. And what happened is...
He married a model.
Well, he did that, but he hasn't been able to get anything done. The whole establishment is really against him, and he hasn't been able to get anything done. And it's because he's this maverick who doesn't, you know? So the danger is that Obama would be the same thing.
Yeah.
Come in with no skills in the system. Everyone loves them. Great. You're going to revamp everything, fix it. Mm. But
no one wants to pay.
No one wants to cooperate.
But there's a difference between no experience and no skills. And I think I'd like to think that our political process alone like pushes someone to have some sort of some skills within the system. But
it also pushes
I don't know about that.
Party politics.
You've got to win. You have to get people to give you money in order to win the race. That's a large part of politics in general, getting people to give you money.
No, you're right. And buying the media slots with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be fascinating.
Well, let's play one more song and say goodnight to everyone.
Night. What's the last track?
It's a Cazal's remix.
Cool.
More of that.
crash in a man. Predict our life, predict our reputation. The oxygen, condition.